Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. We are coming to you from the Conservative Political Action Conference in the outskirts of Washington, D.C. It's 2016 edition. The place is alive, shall we say, with conservatives of various stripes and statuses. One of the most eminent of them, I'm pleased to say, is with me across the table as we come to you from Radio Row. He is Congressman Mark Meadows. He represents with great distinction the people of the 11th District of North Carolina. He is, as a newly minted congressman, in the distinguished position of being the chairman of a subcommittee, of a very important committee, the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, and its Government Operations Subcommittee is the one he chairs. A man of many parts, and we'll try to get into as much of his background as we can, but let me just start by saying how much I appreciate your service to our country, sir, as well as your visits with us from time to time. Thanks so much for joining us here today.
Well, thank you, Frank. It's a great pleasure as I see this. I'm with one of the heroes, so it's great to be with you. And truly, as we look at this, one of the most important things that we're facing are certainly national security issues. A lot of times, moms and dads on Main Street, they don't look at that as much, but it is a critical component that affects everybody's life and certainly something that has become front and center, especially since San Bernardino.
You know, it's interesting you speak of moms and dads because in my experience, what has been happening of late seems to be a growing awareness on the part of moms and dads, if not about their own fates, about the possibilities that their children are going to live in a very difficult world and in perhaps a very different America if we don't start becoming more knowledgeable about the sorts of issues you've been focusing on. So let's talk a little bit about one of them in particular. I know that you have taken an interest in the case of a gentleman by the name of Philip Haney, who was, as you know, for quite some time, 13 years, I believe, in the Department of Homeland Security's Custom and Border Protection Organization. And he's got a series of horror stories to tell about his time there. Give us your flavor of what he's revealed so far and what you think, well, committees like yours need to do to look into the stories he's recounting.
Well, some of the stories and actually some of the facts that he has shared with me already are very concerning. When you start to look at the Department of Homeland Security and the gentleman that you mentioned actually was there since inception.
Yeah, plankholder, as they say.
He was right there. And so he is someone who could be informed and should know exactly what went on. Soft-spoken individual. This is not about him. And so automatically the credibility goes way up. But to share stories of potentially our very own government not looking at jihadists in a real way and not employing all the tools that are at their fingertips to actually go after the bad guys is very troubling. And you know, we've not only started to look at that, but started to look at it earnestly to try to get to the bottom of it. And so I think what you'll see is his name and certainly those like yourself who have been willing to address that issue start to be more front and center as we wage this war on terrorists across the world, but specifically here in the United States.
What I must tell you I found so frightening, really, about Phil Haney's accounts is that the government has actually interfered with the sorts of investigations that he was conducting quite lawfully, doing as part of his job, and actually gone to some lengths to persecute him for doing his job. And I would think this really cries out for congressional oversight. So I'm glad you're taking it up.
Well, it does. And really, whistleblower protection, even though he is, had a career and is not currently with Department of Homeland Security.
Now retired.
But, when you have a whistleblower that's willing for no personal gain to be willing to do that, I think it's extremely credible. And so we've taken it very seriously. We've devoted a number of hours already looking into the details. But when you have a suggestion that we have not only tools available that we're not using, but that we go the other way to say that the documents that you have, we want you to get rid of those. We want you to not focus on that. When you have someone who understands...
Eliminate databases of jihadist operations in the United States.
When he shared that with me, it almost became too big to believe. And so it was one of those that I started looking at some of the documents that he shared with me. It seems credible. And so we're in the very early stages of looking at that, but we'll continue to try to get to the truth and to the bottom of it.
Congressman Mark Meadows is our guest. Let me just ask you, if I may, sir, about a, well, not unrelated, I guess, subject in terms of the larger national security challenges we're facing. But you served at a time on the Congressional Executive Commission on China. And there's been some talk about China in the presidential contests. We're hearing a good bit about it here at CPAC. But as you look at what Communist China is up to, and I use that term advisedly, because it's not generally the way it's thought of or referred to, but it is Communist China, in the South China Sea, specifically, in the East China Sea, and now increasingly in other parts of the world, from East Africa to the Caribbean and Latin America, how would you characterize what we're dealing with here? Is it just a peer competitor, as some would have us believe, a trade partner, or something of a very different and perhaps quite ominous character?
Well, they are really looking at a longer-term strategy. And I think one of the troubling things for me is I've met with probably over 80 ambassadors from various countries here to the United States. And the consistent theme is not only is China investing, but they're making strategic investments. They're being provocative in not only whether it's the China Sea issue, but provocative in terms of drawing a line in terms of who they are and who they want to be. And so we need to see it for what it is. Is it would be naive to say, well, they're just an economic partner. I think they're advancing a real goal is to make sure that they're the preeminent power on the globe. And so it's important that we recognize
The globe. Let me just ask you about that, because some suggest this is a regional hegemony, and that's problematic enough given the strategic importance of that part of the world. But you really see this, and you see it in them and their strategy as global in character.
Yeah, you can come to our hemisphere and see their activities in Latin America. And so Africa right now, if for every dollar we invest, I would say that they invest five. That is a unscientific based on
order
really...
of magnitude.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm just telling you, based on conversations that I've had with people who should know, we're not even making an impact in those particular areas. But it's not just in Africa. It's here in our hemisphere. And whether it be in Canada or Latin America, the Chinese
or in the United States.
Whether it's in North Carolina, we've had a number of and certainly when it's an economic partner, you can look at that in a positive way. But you have to make sure that the ultimate agenda is not one that places them in a superior position.
And all too frequently, as you know, Congressman Mark Meadow, that economic partnership is on terms that are pretty predatory,
well, they
mercantilist.
Are. And the problem is once you get so involved with someone, it makes you make different military and national security decisions because of the economic potential fallout. And so with that, I think we have to be vigilant. It's not as much about losing jobs, although that's certainly an important component. but it has a national security quotient, as you know, Frank, and so we've got to make sure that we don't ignore that as well.
Congressman, I know we've got to let you get back to your work here at CPAC and your day job. Thank you for all that you're doing for our movement, for our country, for freedom as well. And we're delighted to be able to hold your bags or coat at any time. Thank you for joining us on this occasion.
Well,
God bless you, sir.
It's been great to be with you, and it's me who should be thanking you. Continue to be the voice for so many that perhaps are not willing to hear it. Be vigilant, and it's good to be with you.
God bless you. We're going to pause for just a second. We'll be right back with Robert Vandervoort, the Executive Director of Pro English, right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.